Hey, man, what are you doing?
I'm just lying here relaxing in a stream. I call it streaming.
Okay, you know that word already has another meaning, right?
AFA Streaming offers free and subscription video content. Titles like By Design, The God Who Speaks, and Asbury Revival, Desperate for More. You'll also find video versions of AFR programs. Visit AFA.net and click on Streaming. Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning. I hope you're having a great morning. I wanted to read to you from Psalm 150, the final psalm in the book of Psalms. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with harp and lyre. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with stringed instruments and pipe. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He ends that psalm. Praise the Lord. Well, have you praised the Lord today? Have you praised Him with all your heart? I have a good friend in the studio today, guitar legend Doyle Dykes, and he's somebody that praises the Lord. He praises through his lips, and he praises through the ability God gave him to play his stringed instrument. And Doyle has a brand new guitar, not new in terms of straight off the assembly line, but new to him. Yeah, right. And it is a special, special story. So, Doyle, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff. It's always a pleasure. It is.
Well, you have this new guitar that you're pretty excited about. And I know you have a lot of guitars, and you're excited about a lot of them. But this is the newest baby in the fold.
Yeah. Well, I keep trying to thin the herd out, and more guitarists keep coming, and I'm thankful. I'm thankful for that. This guitar was made by a fellow named George Bowen out in California. He used to be a session guitar player in recording sessions and things. Moved up to the Bay Area when he had a family and sold insurance, became very affluent in that and successful. But he always kept some kind of a sideline hobby kind of thing, and he had a passion for guitars and guitar making, and became good friends with James Olson, owned several of his guitars. And he thought, you know, I'll try my hand at that. And he started building guitars a few years ago and got very good at it. And he was kind of a buff guy, kind of like you, you know, muscular guy. And he swam the channel there at Alcatraz.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, over there in, you know,
San
Francisco.
Jack LaLanne used to do that.
This guy swam it 17 times, and the 17th time his doctor was there because he wanted to make sure everything was okay.
Yeah, that water's freezing.
Yeah, well, he came down with ALS, and he still swam it. He said, I'm going to do it one more time. And he had a batch of guitars he wanted to finish. Unfortunately, he's still here. As far as that goes, I'm thankful for that. But unfortunately, he wasn't able to finish the guitars. He can't move his hands anymore. You know, he's a wonderful Christian, loves the Lord. But he said, I have the others that are spoken for that people have bought, you know, and they're beautiful. But there's one, he said, I've saved for a special reason. And it's called the Resurrection Guitar. And he contacted me, and he says, I want you to have it. And I said, well, give it to, you know, Phil Kagi or somebody else a lot more famous than me. And he says, no, you're the guy. Mm-hmm. And he said, could you do a concert when the guitar is finished? So I flew out to Pleasanton and played the concert, and then they sent the guitar to me. And the back and sides were a gift from James Olson. And James at the time didn't realize he had used this wood on this guitar. Just the blanks of Brazilian rosewood are thousands of dollars. And it was a gift to him years ago. He said, well, I'll use that on a special guitar. He flew to Munich, Germany. He has a daughter that actually lives there. She's a newscaster, I believe. But there was this old cathedral that was bombed out by the Allies, so probably us or the Brits, you know. Mm-hmm. And the top beam of the church had fallen, and there were people were scavenging for firewood. So it's amazing this wood even survived, because you know they were in dire conditions. And there was an old violin maker that found out, and he looked at it, and it was alpine spruce, German spruce, as some call it, and, which is the best thing for violins. And so he scavenged the wood and for many years built violin tops out of it, which are small, you know. But there was only one piece they found that was big enough for a guitar. So George actually flew out on that trip just to get to buy this wood, and it still has the wormholes in it. And the church, I think it was 600 years old, it was built in the 1400s, and the wood was already 400 years old, so this wood is actually 1,000 years old.
Wow.
And so yeah, and you think about all the choir music. So you think all those years, many years of choir music and worship going up into this top beam, you know, saturated with all that worship and praise of all those years and all the baptisms and all whatever it took place in that old cathedral.
Yeah.
And now to be used in a guitar. So he calls it the resurrection guitar.
Oh, wow. Okay, now the older the wood, does that translate into a better sounding guitar?
Typically, yeah. You know, I mean, it's dried out, it crystallizes, you know, and becomes something else. I mean, I have some old guitars, and oh, man, when you have a guitar that, you know, if it can last 50, 60, 70 years, yeah, you can't beat the sound of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's funny because a guitar nowadays, I mean, it still thinks it's a tree. And then one day you'll have it. I've taken them out of the case, and I'm like, wow. Boy, there's something special about this guitar now. It finally says, okay, I'm a guitar. You know? And it really is that way.
Yeah. Okay, so is this, I know you have a lot of guitars. Is this your new favorite?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love it. I mean, I have lots of favorites, I guess. James Olsen, my Olsen guitars are wonderful. But James helped him with this guitar when he couldn't do the binding and some of the things that they needed help on. And George's son, Andrew, also was a sort of a prodigal. You know, he had been going through a lot, lost his family. He was... he had rank in the Marines, and not sure what it was, but I think on his last tour he came back and his wife had left him, and he just went through so much. And he just kind of, at one time he was a worship leader, you know.
James was?
No, the other guy. Yeah, Andrew. Okay. And ended up he was not very far from James up in Minnesota. He went back home when he found out about this guitar and the last batch, and that his dad had ALS, and he just rededicated his heart to the Lord, and he came back to his family and said, Dad, I'm going to help you with this. And it's just amazing the change. He said, this has just changed my life. And so there's so many facets of this, and now he's going to take over the company, the guitar company. Actually, it's a bona fide guitar. Just go to Bowen, B-O-W-E-N, guitars. You know, they're beautiful. But they'll be made by Andrew now. George is still, like I say, he's still with us, and what a lovely guy. He and his wife, Jane, and I just got a text from him this morning, and
Okay, so Doyle, when we go back in your life, Your first guitar was like a Sears and Roebuck.
Oh yeah.
Your dad bought it for you for how much? Like $50?
$30. I think $30.
Yeah.
I was talking to, I had my mother on my string along in my little video, the YouTube program, and we were talking about that because I took several years of piano lessons. She said, I sold a lot of Avon products for you to take piano lessons for nothing.
That wasn't your instrument.
Yeah, it wasn't. My brother, though, boy, he's still a great piano player. And so he was ahead of me 2 years. And so it was just kind of, one of those things, why should I do that? He's already so good at that. And I just kind of gave up. But then the guitar came. And, of course, also the Lord really came into my heart. When I really accepted the Lord, even though I was raised in church, when I was 11, I remember to this day raising my hands to the Lord, said, God, give me a job to do, and I'll always tell people about you. And do you know I'll be 70 next week?
Just a young man.
Yeah, just a young man. So I've been doing that all these years since I was 11, and talking about God and spreading the good news. And even if I was doing guitar clinics, I still include the Lord. And I'm thankful. Even mainland China, all over South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, all over the world, all over Europe, and I've talked about the Lord, and they didn't throw me out or put me in jail, so I'm here.
Okay. Oh, Doyle, I remember you telling me about you got some kind of sickness back 20, 25 years ago, and you lost your hearing in 1 ear. What was wrong with you?
Yeah, it was weird. I was sitting, the Oak Ridge Boys had invited me over to Branson, and they were talking to me about opening their shows over there, and I had my daughter with me, and we were sitting there listening to them, and I said, Haley? And she lives in Texas, that's where I'm going.
Right,
Abilene. And she traveled with me for years. I said, is it distorted? Does the sound distorted to me? She says, no. And I would put my ear in my hand on one ear, and I thought, well, that sounds right. Put my hand on the other, and it would sound like a busted speaker. And I said, there's something going on. So I went to the doctor, and worst case scenario, you have a tumor. Well, I did. I had a tumor. And acoustic neuroma, which is Bob Taylor Guitars. He says, that's what you should name your next album, acoustic neuroma. I said, no, I don't think so. But I went through that, and the Lord, you still go through things. I mean, I think of it every single day, because I have an incredible tinnitus on my right side, even though I can't hear one thing out of it. It's gone. But I still hear this. If I move my eyes, it goes, wee, wee, wee.
Wow.
And so you just kind of have to ignore it and not think about it if you can. But I still have an ear to play guitar, and I'm just so thankful.
Yeah. And well, for a professional musician, and that's your calling, that's your ministry, and that's your career. Mm-hmm. When you lose hearing in one ear, and then you're down to, you start really thinking about it.
You do. It throws you off. I remember Rick Muchow had asked me. You remember Rick? Uh-huh. It was with Rick Warren. He asked me to do a big music thing they had, and that was the first thing. In fact, it was 6 weeks into my recovery, and I was supposed to have been off for 3 months. Don't do anything for 3 months. And I'm going, you know what? That's not going to happen. And I was just praying about it, and I got this call, and I'm outside because I had to learn how to walk again, I'm holding on to the house. And
oh, wow.
Because it takes your...
all your equilibrium.
All that, yeah. It took my balance nerve on my right side. And God made us such an incredible, if you really think about it, because the left nerve takes care of the right side takes it. And if you lose one, it will compensate.
Right.
And so, I've never, rarely would I ever stumble or feel dizzy. I don't. And I can still smile and wink. I'm thankful for that. But there may be people out there that have had what I've had that have gone through much more than I have. And I pray the Lord just helps you and touches you. But you're not alone, I'll tell you that. I pray for my mother on the way here. She had a little problem this morning. She's 96.
Yeah.
And I said, well, Mom, let me pray with you. This is amazing. You're not alone. He's there with you.
Amen. Amen. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to my good friend, guitar legend, Doyle Dykes. I've been friends with Doyle since 2011 when he came to First Baptist Texarkana for a big Christmas production that we did, along with Babbie Mason. She was here, and we just had a great time. And Doyle and I have become fast friends, and he's been at First Baptist Texarkana numerous times and has been a guest on this program several times. And it's always a joy to have him. And so we're going to be talking about his career. He's going to be playing a little more this resurrection guitar. We're just going to have a good time this morning. When we get into the third segment, we'll open the phone lines up to take your calls. So give us a call and let's talk.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. We have Doyle Dykes in the studio today. Doyle is a guitar legend, a finger picker, different from other guitar players. Doyle, I still remember you telling me when you were at an event with Eddie Van Halen, and you played, and after you got done playing, he said, "It sounds like you're playing with six people." And it's very complimentary. Now, Eddie is known as one of the greatest guitar players ever, but he can't play the way you do.
You know, I told him, I said, "Well, you know, I've been a soloist for so long." And I said, "Look at you, Eddie. I mean, you changed music." And he literally did.
Yeah.
And, but he said, "Yeah, but I don't do what you do." And I said, "Well," he said, "I get it." He said that. He said, you're an orchestra on guitar. Uh-huh. And that was a great compliment from Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so as you listen, I know you listen to a lot of guitar music. What is the newest thing coming out? Is there is somebody doing something beyond the pale with the guitar? I sent you something with this guy that was a young guy that was doing all sorts of crazy things.
Mancuso, maybe? Yeah, from Italy. Uh-huh. Oh, wow, that guy. I mean, even Lukather and some of the greats are saying this kid just set us all back 30 years, you know. And he learned to play classical style guitar with his fingers where, you know, remember Jose Feliciano? Uh-huh. And I mean, when I saw him do that, I thought, what is that? But he plays everything with just his fingers, no pick, nails, of course. Uh-huh. But I mean, anything that Eddie Van Halen or you know, Eric Johnson or some of the greatest blues and jazz songs that are just real, you know, anything like that, Clapton or whatever, and down to Brent Mason chicken picking country, he can do it. He's amazing. He's just a young guy, and he seems to be a really sweet kid. I mean, when you hear his interviews.
Yeah, Matteo Mancuso, I think is his name.
Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Jay just texted me. Yeah,
thanks, Jay.
Okay, so I know you run in the circles with Tommy Emmanuel and other people like that. Now, Tommy seems to be, because you've said before, Olin is pretty funny. Doyle, I called you Olin, a friend of mine. But you've said that, you know, I have lots of different styles, but they all come out country.
Yeah.
Now, a guy like Tommy seems to be, he does jazz, he does this, he does that. When you do that stuff, does it just not in your wheelhouse? You don't like it or what? Because you can kind of play anything.
Yeah, and I mean, we'll do a lot of songs together, you know. Of course, we came from the same Chet Atkins school of music, you know.
Yeah.
Just listening to records, Merle Travis and all that stuff. He was from Australia, but yeah, Chet, that's what it flattered Chet so much, that a kid from all the way across the world would play his music. Chet just loved that kind of thing, you know.
Could Chet play all different styles?
Yeah.
So he could flat pick. You told me, I don't believe you, but you told me you're not very good with the flat pick.
No, Tommy's great with the flat pick. He can go back and forth, flat pick and thumb pick, but I just never do. But I use my fingers, you know, You know, so you're just using your fingers. Yeah, Martha's Kitchen. Things like that,
yeah,
where I do single lines, but you're doing it with your fingers and a thumb pick, you know.
Yeah. But there are a lot less, it seems to me, I'm a novice in this stuff, but it seems like there are a lot less guys do what you do than do what Eddie Van Halen does, or Ted Nugent, or Jimmy.
I think there's a lot of guys that, probably a lot of people that don't want to do that, what I do, because that is more popular, what those guys do, the blues, and then, of course, the blues was brought up back, you know, through the years, especially by the Brits, you know, and then, of course, a lot of rock players, most of them are just blues players, and they had a different sound. Hendrix, of course, had a lot to do with that, and the way he distorted the guitar. But it's amazing to hear somebody like Eric Johnson from Texas here. Eric's a real good friend of mine, and he's still so incredibly musical, even though when he can play, it just sounds like, oh my Lord, it's just so in charge of that with a majestic rock sound. Uh-huh. And then he can play something just as so sweet. He's like a savant. He's kind of, you know.
Okay, Doyle, with this, because you have such great coordination with, you know, with picking and all that stuff. So if I give you a banjo, you've told me before, yeah, banjo's not really my instrument, but that seems to be so similar, especially with what you're doing.
It is.
But that's, do you not just, I mean, I'm assuming you have a banjo, right?
Oh, I do, yeah. You know, and I need to play my banjo more, and I just, I'm getting another one here pretty soon. It's actually a Dobro banjo, belonged to Grandpa John's son, uh-huh. And I just haven't had a chance to pick it up yet. But
What's a good banjo song? The Deliverance is the one I always think of.
Oh, yeah. Well, anything Scruggs did, you know. And banjos are tuned down. And it's tuned down to a G, typically. Yeah. And those are just banjo runs, uh-huh, that I do on the guitar. I wrote a little tune, you know, years ago using that. In fact, I was in Grandpa John's bus, and he had a motorhome, didn't really have a bus, and I was in the back writing that, you know.
Is that right?
And he said, what do you call that, three chords and a cloud of dust?
Okay, so your song Three Chords and a Cloud of Dust is super fast.
Yeah.
That was that song?
No, I actually, it was because it was such a funny story, I wrote a song that had three chords in it. Uh-huh. And I called it, and it was real fast, and I called it Three Chords and Cloud of Dust.
Yeah. Now, do you have to play that on electric, or you?
Typically, I do, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just got my guitar all out of tune here, but there's a lot of ways to tune a guitar, too. You know, like right now, it's in G. You're just following the chord. Now, if I tune this down to a C, something that Steve Warner showed me, a country singer and great guitar player, and I wrote a song. White Rose for Heidi.
Yeah, I remember that song. Okay, Doyle, you have your Batman chord. I had never heard that before. You have that little Batman piece in there?
Yeah.
And your Batman chord was really cool.
I can't remember what chord that actually is. But
you played that? What did you include that in?
Batman? Me and Jesus and my old guitar.
Did you have the Batman chord in that?
I would end up, so I go in the song. I was doing that one time on the Grand Ole Opry, and I look over to the band. They said, "Keep it, do it." And then at you know the end, I can't even remember what
that
it is.
That does it. Yeah, that was unexpected when you did that. And I think you added that into Here She Comes Just Walking Down the Street, that doo-wah-diddy song. You had a little piece in there.
Oh, no, I see.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Wayne Moss and Jerry Kennedy.
Country Fried Pickin'.
That was
Country Fried Pickin'.
Country Fried Pickin', yeah, you're right. Yeah, Country Fried Pickin'. And I tied that in with Me and Jesus and My Old Guitar. But just for fun in the middle of the song, you know, and sometime I do a Dwayne.
You throw in that stuff.
You know, Dwayne passed away last week.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, I love Dwayne. I wrote a song. I did some music with him. We did some shows together and played a show with Chet Atkins, honoring Chet. And Chet was actually honoring him, but on the show he wanted to honor Chet. And so he brought me in, and I played all of his songs, you know. With him, you know, and I just played. But
he was bass player extraordinaire, right, Dwayne Eddy?
But he played played songs on the bass on the bass strings. You know? Sorry, I'm so far out of tune now. But I wrote a tune like. That's what he did. But I call it Dwayne Thing.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite songs I wrote that he recorded with me is called Three Little Miracles. That's a beautiful little song. And we recorded quite a bit together. In fact, we were going to do an album together, and we just never finished it. We did it over at Cowboys. Jack Clements, it was his name, Cowboy, wrote a lot of songs for Johnny Cash, produced Johnny Cash.
Now, I have a DVD when you were here the first time that I got, and I think on it you and Dwayne are playing. I think you're playing that song. That
Dwayne
you
Thing,
did.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wrote that years ago for him, Dwayne Eddy. He was a wonderful guy. And I have all the collection of Have Gun, Will Travel. You know, I like old Westerns. But I had to buy every one of them because I wanted to find Dwayne did two episodes of Have Gun, Will Travel. And I have those. And
yeah.
I would never forget it. But he says, yeah, I didn't want to be an actor. It's too much work. You
know? Well, let me ask you this, Doyle. What's been a concert you've done recently that's maybe been a surprise to you? Maybe you went somewhere and you were thinking, I'm not sure how this is going to go. You know, crowds are all different. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are those. I still remember you saying, hey, if you pick up my CDs, if you enjoy guitar music, mm-hmm. and because, it, I mean, it's guitar music, you sing on a few songs. I like when you sing. That's not probably your strongest suit, but you sing from the heart, which is yeah. what I like. Your song, Be Still, is mm-hmm. still one of my favorites.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, you that's wrote that, didn't you?
I did. In a trial in my life, you know, when I was I used to pastor a church years ago. Uh-huh. I'm undercover. I don't tell many people there about that. But we were just going through a trial in our little church, and the word the Lord seemed to give me was be still and know that I'm God. And I wrote that song. And first time I ever sang was on a Wednesday night, and we just had a little small church, and my little girls were talking, and I'm going, be still, baby. And I'm looking at them.
Yeah.
I think probably as far as the concert thing, the Bowen guitar concert that I did in Pleasanton, California. It was a uh-huh. beautiful place. What a great, California is a beautiful place. Oh, my Lord.
They're trying to ruin it, but.
They are. You can't out-pretty it, though, you know. And there are some wonderful people out there, too. And so the Bowens, you know, live not too far from their church. And I didn't know how it was going to be. I thought, I haven't played here in years. But I think they were there because of George. Mm-hmm. And I was there because of George. And I didn't know how this guitar was going to be. I mean, I didn't know anything about him. James said, oh, yeah, he's building a nice little guitar. But James would say that anyway.
Yeah.
He's such a nice guy. He's an encourager. And, you know, of course, James builds guitars for James Taylor and, you know, Paul McCartney and all that.
Oh, McCartney plays an
Olsen? Oh, yeah, he has an Olsen. But anyway, and Paul Stanley with Kiss, these guys, I mean, to have an Olsen is like, and for him to have even worked on this is like getting Henri Matisse to say, can you finish my painting? But when I was in that concert, it was just, and I played to George. I played to the Lord, of course. That's what I've learned to do years ago, just play basically to an audience of one. But there were times when I'd look at him. And I just wink at him, you know, because I knew he liked some of the Travis and Chet Atkins, and I throw in some of that. But it was just such a beautiful spirit there, you know, when you honor somebody like that, and the Lord was honored in what He did with this guitar, the Resurrection guitar.
Yeah.
And then I played a concert in Omaha, Nebraska, not long ago, and it was for Free Guitars for Kids. In fact, we can talk about that too. I'm doing an event tomorrow in Abilene for that. And my son-in-law was there, and it was just so much fun. He's a great bass player. Upright bass, yeah. He's such a great guy, and I don't get to play with, like you say, people that often.
Yeah.
And that was one of those tasks. But did you raise any money? Well, we were shooting for 40, but we got 80.
Oh, wow.
So the whole night was just, oh, man, this was blessed.
How cool is that? Yeah. Well, we're talking to Doyle Dykes. He would not call himself this because he's too humble, but he is a guitar legend, and God has used him around the world playing his guitar and sharing his testimony and bragging on the Lord Jesus. And so it's always a pleasure when Doyle is passing through town. You know, Texarkana is the place where a lot of people pass through because we're right in between Little Rock and Dallas. So when we come back from the break, we're going to open the phone lines. If you have a question for Doyle, give us a call, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And we would love to talk to you. So call us and we'll talk. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Welcome back. We're talking to guitar legend Doyle Dykes, and we're talking about his life, his brand new guitar. The Resurrection guitar has such a great story associated with it, and the wood is from a cathedral in Germany that's over 400 years old, and this guy got that wood and made the top of that guitar, and beautiful sounding guitar, and this makes, Doyle, you have the song Guitar Poor, so this, but this was given to you.
Yeah, most of my guitars were.
Yeah. So Guitar Poor is really somebody else. It's not you.
I remember a few years ago, I walked into a music store and I just to buy some thumb picks, and the guy was showing me some incredible guitars. And I walked out with tears in my eyes. I thought, well, Lord, one day you'll help me to be able to afford a guitar. And I remember giving that old Martin away to Roy Clark. And it's funny because after I did that, God spoke to me to give the biggest thing you have away.
Yeah.
And I did. And it was that old Martin. And Roy was coming through town. I knew he knew my uncle that had it. And that's how I inherited it. And so he had it for 30 years. But during that time, that's when I got introduced to Taylor and all that. It was not long after that that I really, honestly, between you and I and everybody else listening, I guess, I've never really had to buy another guitar.
Is that right?
Ever since. No. And I've been with Fender, and I've been working with Guild. I have signature guitars with Taylor and also Guild guitars. And I've been in the catalogs with Gretsch, and I'm working on a new guitar now with Godin Company. Uh-huh. And I'm not bragging on that except for the Lord. You know, you give, it shall be given unto you.
Right.
Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. I mean, for years. And the cool thing is, after, of course, we had to lose Roy, but when he died, Barbara, his wife, gave that old Martin back to me.
Yeah. Well, you played it on the program.
Yeah.
A few months back, and that's a big guitar.
That's a big old guitar. I love it, and it plays incredibly well, even though it was made in like 1939.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
They got it right the first time.
Okay, so tell us about Free Guitars for Kids.
Yeah, you know, there were a couple of guys that one of them was in David Crowder's band, and uh-huh.
You know, David's from here, First Baptist Texarkana.
No.
Yeah.
David Crowder?
Uh-huh.
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, his parents live here.
My Lord. I know Michael Farron.
Yeah,
he's one of the great songwriters, you know, is from here. But anyway, both these, I can't remember their name. Brian, I can't think of it. But they were in Omaha the night I was there doing this benefit for them. But a friend of mine that used to park next to Warren Buffett every day, he was in this big corporation. It was a construction company. And he was on a private plane every day all over. He would speak in three or four different cities all across America, from the West Coast, sometimes in one day. Mm-hmm. And but God got a hold of his life, and he just surrendered to the Lord, and he has just done some amazing things for the kingdom of God. And these guys approached him because of his business expertise to help them with free guitar. His name is Neil Ferry. And Neil called me and said, can you help us on this thing? And so, I said, I'll do whatever I need to do. And so I've done some benefit things for him. And then I happen to think my son-in-law in Abilene mm-hmm. is a music teacher. And I've been trying to get him to work in a school for years, but he's like a kid maggot. He had his own business in Nashville. He'd do, you know, kid shows and birthday mm-hmm. parties, and he'd go to these places and made a great living doing that. But I said, you know, turn that over and just use it for the kingdom of God too. And so this church hired Haley as well and him to work in their worship team, and also the children's department, and they have a school there mm-hmm. at TLCA in Abilene. And so he started teaching them ukulele lessons. So I got him some ukuleles and helped him get connected with a company. Then I thought, wait a minute, free guitars for kids. And so I talked to Neil, and then I put him in touch. And so he's been teaching these kids all year. And so tomorrow we're doing a show. I'm doing a concert I'm playing at the end of the show, and the kids are going to do a recital, and they get to actually take these guitars home.
How cool.
So they get to keep the guitars and the curriculum and everything.
Yeah.
And that's what these guys are doing. Free Guitars for Kids is actually free guitars for kids.
Yeah.
And so it's such a cool thing. So I'm doing that tomorrow for them. And now they have four or five different charter schools under the same umbrella. So they're going to get these programs started at all those. And now I also got a church down in Fort Myers connected, another guy in Austin connected with them for outreach from the church to teach guitar lessons and as an outreach.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the program, they get to keep the guitars.
How cool is that? Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we've had Bobby Holding. Bobby, welcome to Real Truth for today.
Ah, thank you, Pastor Jeff. I got a question for you. How young were you when you recognized God put that desire of that guitar in your heart? And how did you recognize it was from God?
I was 11 years old, and that's when I just knew in my knower that I was saved, you know. And I raised my hands, as I said, and I said, God, give me a job to do, and I'll always tell people about you. And it was just, I don't mean, that was at church that I did that. Nobody told me to raise my hands or anything else, but I remember doing it. And it didn't hit me like that. I didn't go outside and there's, you know, camels out in the parking lot or angels on the roof singing, you're going to be a guitar player. But it was just a few days. I said, Mom, Dad, I want to play guitar, you know. And they bought me this little silver tone because, you know, they're looking a little bit eyes rolling, I think, you know. And because Dad didn't buy cheap instruments, but at the time, that's what he could afford. And I caught on. I started playing chords. I played a solo about 6 months later at our YPE, Young People's Endeavor Youth Service. And my granddad was a choir director. He said, Doyle's going to play a solo. And I still remember it was. And I did that, the arrangement myself, you know, but I could just hear. And so that's what got it started there, and I never looked back.
Well, your uncle was a good guitar player.
Yeah, my Uncle Doyle. Yeah, he's the one that owned that guitar that I gave Roy Clark. Yeah, he was a great singer, and he was like Gene Autry, you know. Uh-huh. And everybody knew him in the business, you know. Little Jimmy Dickens, he was on the Jimmy Dean Show there.
Who
for a
was
while.
Smitty?
That's him.
Oh, okay. Yeah, his name was Doyle, but they called him Uncle Smitty?
Yeah, right. Most people called him Smitty, Smitty Smith.
Very good. Well, okay, so we had talked about things that were surprising. You came to a place and it was like, man, this was better than what I thought it was going to be as far as the experience. Doyle, I ask people this in the music business and Christian music sometimes. Have you ever gone anywhere where it's just like, man, I don't think these people are very interested.
And sometimes after you play, and Haley and I, my daughter, we've had that happen so many times. Like we're up there thinking, you hate us, you can't wait for us to get off. And then after the concert or the church service, whatever it would be, they come up like they just love the daylights out of you. And sometimes we've learned to just kind of go beyond that and remember who you're playing to.
Right.
And not just for, but play to him. And
when I was on a mission trip to Africa, the Africans are not very expressive. Mm-hmm. You know, like the South Americans, Latin America, they're very, very
expressive. Get it.
When you're talking to them, they're very engaged and mm-hmm. demonstrative. But the people in Kenya weren't like that. And so I remember mm-hmm. telling the missionaries, like, I don't think they are getting anything that mm-hmm. I'm saying. He goes, yeah, they're getting a lot of what you're saying. Mm-hmm. They just don't express it the way you're used to seeing people mm-hmm. express it.
And it's out of respect, I mm-hmm. think, more than anything.
Yeah, from a speaking standpoint, or you're up there presenting, sometimes you can feel like, I don't think they like me very much. That can be difficult.
What's that verse? Be not afraid of their faces.
Yeah. I still remember you telling me you played at the Grand Ole Opry. I think it was the Grand Ole Opry. Uh-huh. And you thought you did terrible.
Oh, yeah.
And you thought, and then your daughter told you, Dad, that was incredible.
It was the most life-changing experience of that type you're talking about. And I had a guitar that I was designing with Taylor Guitars and a guy named Lloyd Baggs that made this special pickup. And each string has its own pickup. So I slapped those strings on so fast. I'd never used this guitar very much. And some of the strings were in between the pickups and it weren't even sitting on it. And I didn't notice it until I got up there to play. I thought, what is wrong with this guitar? But there was such a response, and one of your fellow Texans, Billy Walker, you know, from around Waco, I think, he came up to me. It was his portion of the show, and I played How Great Thou Art, you know.
Right.
And I was so concerned about how bad I was, I forgot how great he was. And so he came up and he said, have you ever heard anything like that? And I'm going, no, I haven't. And then after that, Bob Whitaker, the manager of the Opry, came back and he said the same. Put the spotlight back over here. Let's hear it for Doyle Dykes. And he looked at me and said, man, that was fantastic. And I thought they felt sorry for me. I thought I was that bad. And when I was walking out of the car, and Jeannie Seeley, the country singer, stopped me. And she says, I was listening to you on the way back from the Cracker Barrel eating supper. And boy, it blessed my heart, Doyle. She had tears in her eyes. And I'm going, they're feeling sorry for me. And I'll never forget, Haley said, Dad, that's the best you've ever done.
Wow.
And my wife wasn't in the car yet, but I said, oh, my Lord, you know, I don't think I can ever come back here. The next morning, I was on my way to a church, and the kids were in the car, and it was early, Nashville, leaving town, foggy, and I'm talking to the Lord. I didn't sleep much. And I said, God, if you're trying to tell me something, whatever I missed, I kept thinking about it. And God, I don't say this very often, Pastor Jeff, you know me, but so help me, God spoke this to my heart. My greatness does not depend on yours.
Wow.
And I never, ever forgot that. And so sometimes when you think, oh, you know, this is my worst.
Yeah.
But, you know, God can turn it around. If God's in it, you know.
Right.
He can do things that we can't.
Yeah. That reminds me of I took this guy out witnessing. I was teaching him how to witness, and he shared the gospel with this person, and it was just all over the map. And then the last question that we taught him, does this make sense to you? And he asked this person, does this make sense to you? I'm thinking to myself, there's no way, because that didn't make sense to me, and I know the gospel. And the person said yes, and they prayed to receive Christ. So it's just like, you never know how the Lord uses that. Well, we have James on the line from Mississippi. James, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, guys. I have a 17-year-old son that plays music and plays a lot of different instruments. And I'm trying to get him to think more about Christian music, playing in a band like that. But how do you determine, you know, what is, you know, what you're able to play as a Christian?
Well, James, you know, we pull our influences from a lot of different, you know, kinds of music. And my son is a great musician. He listens to all kinds of things. And I do, too. You know, I don't just listen. Honestly, I don't just listen to Christian music, you know. And but I'll take what I've learned, and I've learned to, you know, somehow glorify the Lord with it, you know. And that's what I ask God to do. You know, I think it has to be in your heart to do that. And like I said a while ago, I do that at a secular type event, at a guitar festival or something. I'll do that there, or on the Grand Ole Opry, or in a church. It doesn't matter where it is. And the Lord has allowed me to just be myself.
Yeah.
And so I'm thankful. So he can take all those things that he learns, you know, whether it's from Eddie Van Halen or Eric Johnson, or Hendrix, or it might be from Brent Mason or somebody like that, and can turn it around. And if he really has it in his heart to do something for God, God will open those doors. I believe that.
Yeah. Do you think, Doyle, it's a concern if, like, his son is listening to AC/DC sing Highway to Hell or Run with the Devil or something like that?
Yeah. I've seen things like that and amazed at the people out there that are just almost like they're worshiping, you know, Satan and stuff. And it's kind of a scary thing, you know. I've driven down the very areas where those guys were raised up, little tiny neighborhoods, and you think about the platform that they got in life and how simple what they did was. But if you listen to some of the guitar sounds and forget, you know, what they're singing about, and just listen to the music, because that's a gift, that's a God-given gift, and say, you know, can I learn to do that, and how could I use that for the glory of God, just like I did with Chet Atkins and Merle Travis, you know.
Okay, Doyle, we are out of time, but tell our listeners how they can connect with you.
Well, they can go to DoyleDykes.com, or also if you go to YouTube, just say Doyle Dykes Sunday String Along, and that's something the Lord is using. We got 10,000 views with Mom on their Sunday, so I'm thankful for that.
That is very cool. Well, always a pleasure to have Doyle Dykes here, and thank you for listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'll be with you again tomorrow. Hey, we always close the broadcast with two words, shine and share. Go out and shine with your life and share with your lips what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.